Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday morning, the 6th of June. Cities around the country have been seeing a number of strikes, protests, and rallies for worker rights and fair compensation. This hour of the program, we'll be talking about rights, respect, dignity, wages for today's low-wage worker. We'll have two guests with us. Laura Heller is a Forbes magazine contributor who wrote an interesting piece lately titled, "Are Walmart's Low Wages a Drag on the Economy? New Report Says Yes." We will also be speaking with Kathy Youngblood, who is a Hyatt hotel worker, and she is concerned about the lack of representation of workers on the Hyatt board and also some of the work requirements of people who clean hotel rooms across the country. We'll be welcoming phone calls. I would think we'll have more than a few on this topic. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our first guest, Laura Heller, is a Forbes magazine contributor, and in her recent piece, she looks at Walmart and how much it costs the state of Wisconsin, actually, because Wisconsin's figures seem to be the most up-to-date. She says that we need to have a national conversation about what constitutes a living wage with benefits, but this won't happen since the Democratic Party has taken ownership of this report. It gave it to a news outlet, Huffington Post, with a clearly stated agenda, and done it after most went home for the first summer weekend. Since she wrote this on May 31st, I believe, she was looking for a response from Walmart, and we'll ask if she has received one yet. What is a fair wage? Are reforms needed? Do we need a national conversation about what constitutes a living wage with benefits? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page, if you would like to leave messages there, we would love to hear from you, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Laura Heller, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, our pleasure to have you with us. The new report says Walmart wages could be costing taxpayers $900,000 to $1.75 million per year per store. Are those accurate figures?
They're not. They're speculation in many ways. The report itself uses terms like likely and could. There are numbers that have been construed by the committee to prove a point. It's a much, much cloudier issue than that, but it does make for a very compelling headline.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there is truth in the fact that many people who work at Walmart and similar kinds of places, although Walmart certainly is the largest company here, have to enroll in special state programs like Badger Care in order to have their health care needs taken care of?
Of course. There's really no disputing that the wages that are earned by a great many part-time employees at Walmart, and many, many, many of the store-level employees are part-time, do not allow them to make enough to pay for the health care program, whether or not it's even available to them.
Mm-hmm. But you say that the report looked, is this right, mostly at Wisconsin because the figures here are most up to date? Is that right?
Well, that's what the committee said. The report was issued by a group of Democrats within this committee that put together these numbers, and because Badger Care actually reports those numbers that they can quantify, they used Wisconsin as the example.
The report, you have concerns with the report because it came from the Democratic Party, really, taking ownership of the report, and you were concerned about to whom they gave this report.
Well, I am always concerned when something that can affect millions of people becomes a mere political football. I think that the conversation about wages and benefits in this country is too important to have it get punted around and made platforms. I think that it's one of the issues that truly affects all of Americans and cannot be used by one party or the other. And once one party makes a claim on it, then it becomes a pro and against, and everybody starts looking for holes and ways to discredit. And that's a shame because that hurts the people that actually need the legislation the most and the changes the most.
So what can we do to get a national conversation, which is probably one worth having about what constitutes a living wage with benefits?
That's a really good question. Things like this, things like these more rationed and reasoned conversations about it, and finding facts and not issuing a congressional report that leads with, in the introduction, words like could cost taxpayers up to and may cost taxpayers. It's a spacious argument.
Wisconsin, you write in the report, released data on Medicaid enrollment by employer as of the fourth quarter of 2012, and Walmart did rank first on the list with 3,216 of its employees enrolled in the state's Medicaid program, Badger Care. You would not dispute that?
No, and I'm taking that strictly from this report that was issued on Friday.
Mm-hmm. So what, when you hear that number, 3,216, how does it strike you?
It's a high number, absolutely. And also, when you look at that, Walmart is one of the larger employers in the state or in the country. It's the largest private employer in the country. So numbers will always be higher just percentage-wise from a data collection point, absolutely. What they don't list is what the numbers were for any other large retail or quick-serve restaurant chains in the state.
Do you imagine, I don't know if you've done reporting on this, do you imagine it would be similar?
I imagine that the numbers, if we did it, would be very similar, particularly with some of the larger quick-serve restaurant chains.
I don't know if you're going to be doing a report on this, but as you know, there are states like the state of Wisconsin that will be not accepting Medicaid expansion funds. There is some concern in this state that some of the people who have been on Badger Care, who are low income but working people, will not be able to afford the insurance programs that will be a part of the new health care reform exchanges. Is that, will these people that have been written about that are in this report, do you think, face a problem with getting any kind of insurance?
Oh, most likely. Well, one of the interesting things about the report is the timing. In advance of the new health care programs that are going to be rolling out, the state of California just this week now, following the report, has issued initiative that's been launched to try to charge large employers like Walmart the difference between what they will be subsidizing in terms of the insurance when people go to the exchanges that don't qualify with their employers. This is only the tip of the iceberg. We're going to see this in state after state after state as states try to recoup some of the funds that they are going to have to put towards implementing the program.
Did you say that passed in California?
No. It was just initiated this week.
I see. So it has to go through the legislature as a bill?
Mm-hmm.
We had former Senator Olympia Snowe with us yesterday for an hour, and she really expressed deep concern, and as you know, she left the Senate because she just felt as though there was absolutely no cooperation on some of the major issues. She called it the worst that Congress that just ended, the worst Congress since Reconstruction, which is a pretty dramatic thing to say. When you look at what could happen as a result of health care reform, how people could fall through the cracks here, I would imagine that a serious conversation on these issues is really important. And yet, considering what's going on in Congress right now, I wonder if it's likely to happen. I ask you, do you think it is likely to happen? And really, what would it take for us to make sure that, you know, on this issue, there are others, people have health insurance?
I think it's very unlikely to happen, and that was part of my concern about this. I agree with the former senator. I think that once we have a party plant a flag on something that's so important to the entire country and make it only about arguing points as opposed to discussing the realities of the situation and what can be done, it becomes much more difficult. But the truth is I don't cover politics. I cover retail as a reporter. And one of the things that has always been frustrating to me is, yes, I understand that Walmart is the largest of those employers and therefore becomes a great example to make. But when people begin to demonize a company without all of the knowledge and information and facts and wondering if the places that they do choose to shop are any different from the place that they are then demonizing, All of these things help to cloud the issue and make it just an us against them, Democrat versus Republican, has versus have-nots kind of an issue.
Mm-hmm. You said at the end of your article that Walmart had not immediately replied to your request for comment. Have they now?
Oh, yes, they did. They applied within a couple of hours. You know, the report took, I think, everybody by surprise. It just seemed to appear on a Friday afternoon. Walmart says that they are proud of the benefits and promotions and jobs that they provide to employees, and they give you a nice number of how many, you know, internal promotions they do per year, and they have a statement that they issue to the press, and it's on their website always. I'm sorry, I was unable to pull it up at the moment, but they do say that they're proud of what they've done, and they stand behind their position and their benefits that they offer and their pay. The problem is that the retail industry, when they say they pay competitive wages, it means that everybody is paying roughly the same thing, which is typically the minimum wage per state. What the market will bear.
Did they respond, though, directly to the report talking about the number of people who are on the Medicaid program?
They did not.
Should they? Should they respond to that?
I think they're going to have to. I think that they will. In 2005, there was a push. Walmart did not provide part-time health insurance benefits to part-time employees. They were roundly criticized, you know, in the press from shoppers, and they did then implement a program to provide that health care program to part-time employees. They just last year took that program away. Now, what happened in the interim was in 2005, when this was rolled out, the economy was going strong. There was more pressure, I believe, to expand programs. And then as the economy contracted and sales went down, you see more cost-cutting initiatives take place. And that's part of that program.
Mm-hmm. Could they afford, do you think? I mean, you cover all of this. People have said Walmart makes a lot of money, and I know you cover some of this in the article that you wrote. They really could afford to be a little bit more generous with health care. Do you think that's fair criticism?
I think that would really hurt shareholders, and a corporation's primary devotion is to those shareholders. Walmart operates in a very low-margin business. Comparing what Walmart and, by the way, Target or a supermarket chain, comparing how they make money to a company like Costco, which is also a retailer but has a very different business model, is not an apples-to-apples situation. Could Walmart afford to raise pay? It would take a cut. Can they afford not to is maybe a better question. And I think that's part of what this report is trying to do. And if it could move that conversation forward, that would be great. But it seems right now to just be one more argument from one side to the next.
Let's take a couple phone calls for you before we change guests on this and talk with a Hyatt housekeeper who is leading a campaign in the country, Someone Like Me campaign, which, among other issues, is aiming to get a hotel worker or workers added to the Hyatt Board of Directors. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Greg in Glidden, hi.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you, Greg?
Good. Yeah, I just strongly disagree with Governor Walker not to take the money for the expansion of Medicaid and Badger Care, which I think it stinks of extremism and radicalism on the Republicans' behalf. I don't like it one bit. Does it have an effect on my companies like Walmart? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg, for the call. Do you have a handle on how many Republican governors have changed their minds on this particular issue? There have been some, haven't there, Laura?
I'm sorry, I really don't know. I cover retail, and the health benefit issue is part of retail, but specifically how that applies to Medicaid is a little outside of where I'm comfortable speaking.
Apologies
to your caller.
That's all right. Cody in Oshkosh. Hi. Cody?
Yes, I believe we have multiple discussions about health care. It's so clear that we need a single payer, at least a private, non-for-profit, universal health care coverage. It would solve both problems for the individual and these businesses. It would no longer be in their hands or their responsibility. It would be provided. Every other industrialized country has done this. It's a half to a third of the cost, and it would solve so many problems for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. How involved were retailers, places like Walmart and all kinds of other places? Were they at the table when it came to discussion of health care reform? Do they need to be? Are they asking to be in a larger way, Laura?
They are very involved in this. And in fact, Walmart was a very early supporter of a national health care program and Obamacare. Your caller is right on with this. Walmart competes on a global platform. So it has stores in 26 countries, I believe, and all of those other countries have some form of national health program so that when they're looking at what is competitive, they're not only looking in the United States. So to have that option and to shift some of those costs and allow employees access to health care from someone that is not Walmart or in any other retailer is a huge benefit to them. They have a lot of skin in this game of making it work.
Cody, thanks for the call. Bob in Waukesha, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You kind of touched base on something that I wanted to ask about, which is Costco and what they're doing. And I don't know specifics, but I've heard from people that work there that they've got a pretty good program running. And also, just a quick comment, wouldn't Walmart be a hero if they started like a small Walmart clinic for people, you know, to go into, like, their little grocery stores and also their employees could go there? It would be like just like a Walmart walk-in clinic where their employees could go there either on a discount or for free.
Well, that's an interesting idea. Laura?
Well, I don't know that any retailer is in the position to provide free health care, but Walmart, like all of the other major retailers right now with pharmacies, have been rapidly expanding clinic programs within their pharmacy departments.
Hmm. And what about this? You mentioned Costco having a different kind of business model. Can you talk about that a little bit, why they do, what different populations they may serve, why the model is different, why Walmart's model is different?
Certainly. Costco is widely noted as being one of the best employers to work for, specifically in the retail industry. They have a higher hourly wage. They do provide comprehensive benefits to their employees. People seem to be quite happy working for them. But it is a different business model. It is a warehouse club. It is a membership club. They make most of their profits from the monthly or from the annual membership fees that their members pay. So if I am a Costco club member, I am paying anywhere from $50 to $200 a year to shop at that store. And that is their profit center. And there's a lot of ways that retailers like Costco shift some of the burden of employee costs. They have vendors come and stock the shelves and maintain displays. If you've ever been in a supermarket and seen someone wearing a Coca-Cola shirt stocking the beverage aisle, That supermarket does not pay that employee. That employee is paid by their parent company. So the shift of those costs and benefits goes away from the retailer, and that's something that a lot of stores like Costco take advantage of. They also, the people that give you those wonderful samples at Costco that people love to go and get on weekends and walk around the store and have lunch for free.
Right, exactly.
So the sampling company is paid for by a third party. So you see a lot of those costs shifted, and depending on the retailer, it depends on how they move those pieces around the chessboard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bob, very much for your interesting call. One more call for you, and then we're changing guests. Kendra in Milwaukee. Hi, Kendra.
Hi there.
Hi.
I have noticed I have two different friends who were longtime top-performing workers at retail stores, and they worked full-time. And it seems institutionally that they are forcing those people out. They are cutting their wages, and, of course, then they can't accrue benefits. It's like they, you know, they're trying to get rid of their highest paid employees and deny them benefits at the same time.
Laura, do you see that kind of, is there a trend?
Oh, it's absolutely a trend. And it's a trend that began during the recession, at the beginning of the recession. It is a tactic that corporations have used throughout history to reduce overhead and costs when things get squeezed in their profits. And it is something that we are, in fact, seeing across the board because of the new healthcare requirements and the part-time versus full-time hourly requirements for access.
And because of the healthcare requirements, what do you mean by that? That most businesses, and I'd like some more information on this, will see this as being more expensive?
Absolutely. That's been one of the criticisms of Obamacare, is that companies will begin to reduce the hours offered to their employees so that they do not have to offer health benefits. The 30 hours and over is considered full-time, 29 hours and below is part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is these part-time workers that initial report that launched this entire conversation was focusing on.
So what's the answer to that?
I don't have an answer. I wish I did.
And what about the question that you ask in the report? I mean, it's a good question. What constitutes a living wage with benefits, and how can we secure that? Because ultimately, it's good for the economy, right? People will spend their money and put it back in places like Walmart and other retailers instead of really having to scrape to make a living to get by. What do you hear people, the Republican Party, talking about this? Do you hear Republicans and Democrats talking about this? It's a legitimate question.
It's a huge question, and it's something that the retail industry, by and large, has opposed any increases in the minimum wage. They take a very free market capitalism stance on this, and it is a subject that each party has taken ownership of, the Republican Party saying no increase in minimum wages and the Democratic Party pushing for an increase. And I think that's what this report, again, is meant to address, which is the low wages. I just hope that it tries to stay away from being too sensational in talking about, you know, the Walmart being evil and everybody else being good, and can turn it around to say, this is what minimum wage is. This is how it has not appreciably increased over the years. This is what the state of the economy is, and here is what it should be at. And can we, in fact, make that happen?
Thank you, Laura, very much for being with us. Laura Heller is a contributor to Forbes magazine. She wrote a piece on May 31st. Are Walmart's low wages a drag on the economy? New report says yes. The report, issued in May, you can get it on the internet, is titled The Low Wage Drag on Our Economy, Walmart's Low Wages and Their Effect on Taxpayers and Economic Growth. It's an update to the 2004 report prepared by the Democratic staff of the U.S. House Committee on Education and the Workforce. Laura's criticisms of the report, that it came from the Democrats, released to the Huffington Post, considered a liberal publication, and also that maybe the figures weren't as hard and fast as they should be. We are going to continue our conversation about low-wage workers in this country, and Kathy Youngblood will be joining us momentarily. Kathy has been leading protests in front of the Hyatt Regency demanding a change in worker conditions. She is the spokesperson and is traveling the country for the Someone Like Me campaign. One of the things they would like to do is get hotel workers added to the Hyatt Board of Directors. So as we look at low-wage workers in this country, people who clean our hotel rooms and work at Walmart, we ask the question to Kathy, what is a fair wage with benefits? What would those benefits be? She is concerned about some of the working conditions, and we'll be speaking with her about all of that as we continue our conversation. Our phone number remaining the same, of course, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email talk@WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program this Thursday. I don't know if you saw last Sunday's front page story in the New York Times on healthcare costs in America. It's centered on colonoscopies and showed how you can pay over $6,000 for one in the United States, whereas in other countries it's always less than $1,000. This whole issue of how much health care costs in this country is very, very large. The Times is beginning a series on this issue, and we will speak with the journalist who covers health and environment for the New York Times, who wrote that piece, and also with a professor who is director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Master of Public Health Program. Joining us now is a low-wage worker. Kathy Youngblood is with us. Kathy is a Hyatt housekeeper, and she says she does windows. She cleans toilets, too, and there is no shame in being a housekeeper, but she says shame on Hyatt for not wanting to talk to someone like her. She is traveling around the country. She's the spokesperson for the Someone Like Me campaign, which aims to get hotel workers added to the Hyatt Board of Directors. Our phone number remaining 800-486-8655. Kathy, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Why don't we have you talk a little bit more about what the Someone Like Me campaign incorporates? What are you asking for?
Well, thank you, Kathleen. I am Kathy Youngblood, and I am a Hyatt Ondas housekeeper working in West Hollywood, California for about 3 years. And the Someone Like Me campaign is the idea that I came up with and proposed it to my coworkers because we need our voice heard. A hotel worker, you know, who works the jobs every day, who knows what is needed, who keeps the guests coming back, we know how the hotel operates. Now, within Hyatt, we have all these problems and conflicts. So we thought, my coworkers, why not have a hotel worker on the board of directors? It makes perfect sense. So I have been traveling around the country talking to workers, many of the Hyatt workers working in the hotels, and I have had a 100% positive response on putting a hotel worker on that board.
What are the kinds of issues that you would like to have the board listen to? Are you concerned about too much work, not good working conditions, money issues? What are they?
Well, Kathleen, you hit a nerve there. You touched on most of the problems that we face within working within the Hyatt hotels. There are many issues facing us. The workload is back-breaking and fast-paced as a housekeeper. Some of our housekeepers clean up to 30 rooms a day in an 8-hour shift, and some don't take lunch and breaks. We do need things like the proper equipment and better tools to do our jobs every day. But particularly within the Hyatt Corporation, we think Hyatt is leading the hotel industry in a race to the bottom because they're increasingly hiring subcontracted temporary workers. And these workers come in and work alongside the permanent workers, but these workers have no benefits, no health care, and they're making low wages. This is not fair. It's unacceptable. How can a worker survive in this economy and live on that wage? It's just, you can't do it.
Have you noticed a change? Did Hyatt used to operate differently?
Well, I don't know exactly when Hyatt started using subcontracted work or operated differently, but I work beside women that have been there 25 and 30 years, and they started in, of course, that many years ago, and everybody was permanently hired. No temporary help.
What has Hyatt said to your request to have a worker on the board?
Well, not much. That's why I'm going to the Hyatt Board of Directors meeting on this Monday in Oak Brook, Illinois, and we are going to present this idea to have a worker on the hotel board. It's very, very interesting. We're going to present this proposal because we want Hyatt to go in a different direction. And Hyatt can really take the lead and listen to our concerns. We are very valuable employees. Hyatt calls us family, and we are family. And so I think it's time to really sit down and listen to the family, the people that actually work the jobs every day. We do think that our voice needs to be heard.
Is this something, would you say, that is common among people who work in the hotel industry? Is it a race to the bottom for everybody or not?
Well, I can only speak because, having being employed by Hyatt, I don't know you know, how exactly the other hotel chains run, but I do know hotel housekeeping. And within each of the hotels, hotel housekeeping is one of the hardest jobs.
You have asked for, and add to this list, please, the job could be safer. You mentioned just a while ago you could have better equipment. The vacuum cleaners are too heavy. The sheets for the beds could be fitted. Do you want to add to that, Kathy?
Yes. Let's start with the beds. Hyatt has really led a campaign and voiced, they have voiced this directly to the in the public arena. We have been asking for fitted sheets for many years. And people may ask, well, why fitted sheets? Well, we're lifting all four corners of a mattress weighing over 100 pounds. We're using king-size flat sheets for every size bed, even for a queen, a twin, and a rollaway. If we had fitted sheets, this would help eliminate that pressure, and also it would help reduce the amount of back injuries that we suffer.
Now, this is something I certainly never thought of, but why wouldn't there be fitted sheets?
Well, that's interesting. Hyatt has publicly opposed the use of fitted sheets, but chains like the Marriott Hotels, I've talked to housekeepers working in the Marriott Hotels, especially in Los Angeles where I live, and downtown Los Angeles, they've used fitted sheets for 17 years because the workers complained 17 years ago and management listened to them.
You mentioned having to clean 30 rooms, which seems like a whole lot of rooms. Is there a quota? Do you have to clean so many rooms every day?
Well, let me take myself for an example. At the Hyatt Ondaz, I clean 13 rooms a day. Some hotels clean 16, but here's a concern. If you have a worker in some of our Hyatt hotels who are cleaning up to 30 rooms a day, how clean is that room? And then think about the stress on the worker. You're rushing around, you're actually running around, and you're injuring yourself. You know, you occur bruises because you run into furniture or things like that. It's not safe.
You have said that you and other workers are always exchanging tips on over-the-counter medications.
Yes, we do take over-the-counter medications, and I can point to myself as an example. The work is so fast-paced and back-breaking that you suffer from lower lumbar injuries. Sometimes your hands hurt, and I think that's the beginning of the carpal tunnel syndrome for me. Also, with the vacuum cleaners, you're working at such a fast pace. And remember, to the listening audience, this is not like working in your home. Jerking that heavy vacuum cleaner back and forth can lead to injuries like rotator cuff injuries on the shoulders. And you pretty much get beat up. Our bodies are breaking down way too early from doing this fast-paced work.
Do people leave you tips?
Do people leave us tips?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say, we have good periods and bad periods. There have been days where we receive no tips. And then every once in a while, a client or a customer would come in who really, I think, knows who's been an avid traveler and knows how the hotel industry works, and sometimes they do leave very nice tips. But we could use a little more.
Mm-hmm. And what about the kind, I'm wondering how people treat hotel rooms, Kathy. Do you find that most people are just slobs, or are they considerate of the work that you will have to do to clean up the room?
Well, Kathleen, you said it. As far as, now the different hotels, of course, there's different size rooms. I can relate to my hotel. It is in West Hollywood. We have a lot of people who come in to party, and that's a challenge to clean that up. And here's one thing that I want the listeners to understand. Sometimes you get a neat guest, and you can clean the room in a safe manner and good timing, and then when you go to the rooms that are really a mess, it takes much longer. And, of course, that's more stress on your body. So the hotel guest, sometimes they're clean and neat, and sometimes they're slobs, as you said. So how else to put it, huh?
Right. I guess that's an apt description. What outlets do you have now when you have work concerns, be it vacuum cleaners or fitted sheets or the number of rooms you have to clean? If you have a concern now, to whom do you direct that concern?
Well, right now, when we have a concern, we immediately direct that concern to our first-line supervisor. And then we can also discuss things up the chain with the general manager. But this is the point. We workers have been talking with management for many years and asking them to change the way things are and to give us better equipment and make it a safer environment. And somehow it all gets lost in a shuffle, and we don't get what we need. So that's why we think it's time for Hyatt to add a hotel worker to the board. And we're very valuable workers, and I just think if the board of directors would sit down and listen to someone like me, I think they would get a lot of educated in how the hotels work. And also, of course, it's a two-way street, so I could learn from them. But, you know, Kathleen, this kind of thing with a worker on the board or a workers' council has been done in Europe, particularly Germany, for many years.
Hmm. Well, I know you've been traveling all over the country. I believe last week or recently you were in Indianapolis standing outside a Hyatt holding a microphone. So obviously people were hearing what you were saying. Has anybody picked up the phone or seen you in front of one of these Hyatts and said, Kathy, let's sit down and talk about this?
No, no Hyatt manager has approached me as far as wanting to sit down and talk about the issues. They come and look at me. That's about it.
Kathy Youngblood is our guest this part of the program. We're talking about low-wage workers, and she is a worker for Hyatt Hotels. She works in West Hollywood. She is the spokesperson for the Someone Like Me campaign. She's been traveling the country as the spokesperson for this, aiming to get hotel workers added to the Hyatt Board of Directors. She is concerned, as you heard her say, about what she calls a race to the bottom, the hiring of subcontracted work, temporary workers who don't have benefits. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@WPR.org, and our Facebook page, if you would like to use that, is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A national conversation that many think that we should have is the cost of health care in this country. We will have two guests with us. Please, we'll put this on our Facebook page, too, in case you didn't see this. A really important article, and it will is the beginning of a series of articles in the New York Times. It was last Sunday, front page story, and it examined the cost of health care, why colonoscopies cost so much in America, and how they used to be done in a doctor's office, and now there are specialty places where you go that anesthesiologists, all adding to the cost. But for so many other things, for C-sections, for lots of operations, the cost is much, much less in other countries, countries that have national health care and countries that have private systems as well. Why is that? We'll have two guests with us, Elizabeth Rosenthal, who's a journalist covering the health and environment for The Times. She wrote last week's story. Tom Oliver will also join us, professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at UW-Madison and director of the UW-Madison Public Health Program. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. Kathy Youngblood is our guest this hour. She is leading a nationwide movement, Someone Like Me campaign, aiming to get hotel workers added to the Hyatt Board of Directors. And this is another in our continuing series of conversations about low-wage workers in America, and we welcome your phone calls. Let's go to John, our first call from Hollandale. Hi, John.
Well, it's all about criminal mad dog capitalism. It's greed, it's profit, it's motivated by monetizing everything that these big shots can get their hands on. They don't care about people, they don't care about workers.
Kathy?
Well, you know, at this point, I'd have to agree with you. Your name was John, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, John, many people have said to me that the billionaires and millionaires don't care about workers. Well, I'd have to agree with you on that point, because there are millionaires and billionaires that sit on the board of directors of these companies. And this is a sore point among all the workers that we are facing across the country. We have solutions. We have ideas. If they would just listen to us, it would be a better company. I'm baffled at sometimes why they don't listen to us. And just like you said, John, they don't care. So I have to agree with you on that one.
And we have another John calling from Franklin. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I'm also working in the hotel business. I've been doing this for like 30 years, except I work in the kitchen.
Hmm.
And I see similar things with pay in the kitchen, that the only difference is with housekeeping. People don't really need to get an education for it, and I see a lot of people who are going to culinary schools who are, you know, paying sometimes up to $40,000-$45,000 a year and then graduating and making $10-$11 an hour and never being able to pay back what they paid out on the school.
Is that your? Is that what happened to you, John? Did you go to culinary school?
I went to culinary school a long time ago when it was much cheaper. It was probably, I think I got two-year degrees for like $12,000, something like that.
Uh-huh. And do you cook? Yeah. You cook at a hotel now?
Right now I'm not in a hotel, but I've been in hotels before. I'm in a casino now. But before I was making, I was salary before, but people now are just paying so much for culinary school, unless they're going to a technical college.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working, I think they're probably the hardest working people in hotels.
Mm-hmm. And is the casino fairer, do you think? Your wages?
I think so.
So let me ask both of you, John and Kathy. We were talking with our first guest about a national conversation that we don't seem to be able to have because we have different political viewpoints on this. But it's an important question for everybody. And that's what constitutes a living wage and what constitutes fair benefits. How do you answer that, Kathy?
Well, I think everyone needs a living wage. And you have to remember, the wages have not kept up with inflation. They've not kept up with the economy. Back when I started working in the 1970s and then, of course, up until now, I haven't been a high-paid wage worker. And, John, I worked. I was a cook for 3 years, too, and I also went to culinary school. And one of the things I find is, and you related how much it costs now to go, the workers in the kitchen are very hard workers. And I and my coworkers have discussed this many times, and they do need a higher pay, okay? They have a skill, and they do need a higher pay. Now, as far as housekeeping, it does take skill to be a housekeeper and to work that fast pace and to get the job done. Because in a hotel, you have to turn over rooms very, very fast. And it's not for a person who doesn't have the physical ability or, and there's quite a bit of stress level. So it does take skill. No, it doesn't take higher education to do housekeeping, but it does take a sense of knowing how to greet and talk to guests, how to interact with guests, and the housekeeper is the first responder. They're the one that the guests see in the morning and usually late at night.
John,
and so I think all over America, the wages need to be increased. How can you buy a new car or a new home? It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you think is fair?
What do I think is fair? Well, it depends on where you live, I think. I know a lot of people I work with are struggling all the time. And I'm doing a little better. I worked in management for a long time, so I'm just kind of hanging out now. I was kind of overworked at my last job. But I'm just kind of doing my 40 now and going home and enjoying family time and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But fair, I don't know. I mean, enough to be able to pay your rent and pay for what you need for your family, I guess.
Thank you, John, for the call. We have an emailer, Kathy, who writes, our son recently graduated with a master's degree, and he's being offered slightly above minimum wage to work in the athletic field at big universities. It makes me angry because there is a culture that if you are young and hungry, they can pay this low wage.
Well, I can certainly relate to that. I have a coworker with a master's degree who works at the hotel, and she's presently looking for another job because she, of course, wants higher pay. And she is young. I work with a lot of young workers who express the same thing that that your caller has. It's a rat race out there, but I'm afraid that if we become a low-wage nation, what good is it to get education? Now, I myself have higher education. It was a personal goal of mine. I went for it. I'm glad I got it. I think it made me a better person. But what does it say in America when our young people take the time and the effort to get an education, and then they get on these jobs, and the wages are still too low? This is just unacceptable, and I think America can do better. But the owners and the millionaires and billionaires that own these companies, they could pay much better if they wanted to.
And what about your higher education? Are you prepared to work in other lines of work, and you have chosen not to for some reason?
Well, no, it's not that I had chosen not to. Let me tell you how I came to the to the hotel industry. I was working part-time for a department store and collecting unemployment. In 2008-09, you know what happened. The bottom fell out of everything. Mm-hmm. And me being gray-haired and an older worker, it was so difficult to find a job. Kathleen, I put in hundreds of applications. Mm-hmm. I walked the streets looking, asking for anything. And then someone sent me an email and said, well, the hotel industry is hiring. So I went and applied at the hotel industry, and I initially applied for another job, a PBX operator. They said that job had been filled. Now, PBX operator, of course, is the one that answers the telephones and sits in a little cubicle and interacts with the guest every day. So the lady says to me, well, have you ever done housekeeping? And I says, well, yeah, off and on. Years ago, I was a private housekeeper in a private home. So I had to make a quick decision, and I took the job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, presently, I don't want to stay working in housekeeping forever. I am looking for other jobs, but in the meantime, that is my job.
You have to make money.
Yeah, well, I've got to pay the rent.
Right. Jerry in Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Kathleen, and your guests. You know, I have three questions, and I stay in hotels all over the country, and my questions are pretty basic. A, since you work for Hyatt, what do you consider an ample tip for a housekeeper per night? B, how can you ensure that, in fact, the housekeeper will receive a tip? And C, this is very mundane, but, you know, when I take a shower, for instance, would you rather have me put the towel, the dirty towel, on the floor or on the rack?
Kathy.
Okay, well, first of all, let me deal with your last statement. Please put the towel on the floor. All dirty items go on the floor. It makes it so when we enter a room, we immediately know, okay, we need to replace this and that. Also, you have to keep in mind that hotels operate, of course, 7 days a week. Most housekeepers work 5 days a week, so we have the 2 days off. We would like guests, if they're going to leave a tip, leave it every night. Now, there are people that come in and they do or want to leave a tip at the end of their stay, and so we're lucky if they find the right housekeeper assigned to that floor.
Right.
Now, what would I consider a good tip? Whatever you feel. Now, listen, I'm not too ashamed to pick up pennies. I've had pennies left. I have change left because I guess people don't want to take the change to the airport. I've been given $2 a day. I've been given $5 a day. I've been given $10 a day. And some guests really, really appreciate the room being clean and how well that I do it. Some guests have left as much as $50.
Oh, my, that's nice.
Me. So it varies. But if you can just put a 5 spot on that bed every night, honey, a housekeeper would be really, really happy.
Thank you, Jerry, for your call. And one more call. We're about a minute left. Kenna from Janesville. Hi. Short on time.
Hello. I want to comment on this contract situation. That is a gimmick to lower the cost to the hotel owners, the cost of labor, even more because they don't have to deal with any of the taxes. There's no workman's comp or any of that.
Kathy, I'm sorry, Kenna, but we're almost out of time. You want to respond, Kathy?
Well, I don't quite understand what he wanted to focus on.
Subcontracted work, I think.
Oh, yeah, subcontracted work. That's the one thing that we don't want Hyatt to keep doing is employing subcontracted work. And you're right, these workers come in for low pay and no benefits. It is a cost-saving measure for the hotel industry, but we want workers hired full-time with full benefits and decent pay.
Kathy, let us know what happens. The meeting is Monday, right?
Well, it sure is, and I want to let the workers know that I have a petition online, and they can go to hyatt.coworker.org. That's hyatt.coworker.org, and vote for me to become a hotel worker, the first hotel worker on the board of directors of the Hyatt Hotel Corporation.
Kathy Youngblood, our guest this part of the program, her campaign is Someone Like Me. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this program, and thanks for your calls, everybody. Please stay tuned. An important conversation about the cost of health care in America and why it is we don't really address this subject. We'll have two very good guests with us. First, the news coming up in just a little while. This is the Ideas Network.